Well, today is election day here in the United States. And so why don't we go ahead and talk about voting, about Catholics voting, and our current electoral situations. Are Catholics required to vote? Who should they vote for? Who do I think is going to win this year? Things like that. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before we get started, just encourage people to smash that like button and to subscribe to the channel wherever you might listen to us, wherever you might watch us. I really appreciate that. It helps to keep the channel growing. Also, I want to mention that we're on all the different social media channels. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Gitter, Gab. We added Truth Social recently. We also, now the videos, these Crisis Point videos are on Rumble as well. I do not have live streaming set up over at Rumble yet. I think we need to get like 100 subscribers or something like that before we can do that. But hopefully once we get 100 subscribers, we will be live streaming over at Rumble as well. We're also live streaming, currently we're live streaming on Facebook, Twitter, Odyssey, and YouTube. Now, the big news on the whole Crisis Magazine front is the fact that today, yay, we launched our new website, our redesigned website. Here, I'll pull it up for those who are watching. You can kind of check it out. So you see, it has a much cleaner look, I think. I'm really happy with it. Our old website was designed in 2014, which was very nice for 2014, but as everybody knows, 8 years is way too long for a website to last. So I like it. It features our main articles. We're still doing our main. We do two commentary, two opinion articles every single day. We're still doing that. So we highlight them there at the in the top of the page. My editor's desk is over here. You can see basically those are just kind of almost like a blog, my blog at the Crisis website. So they're not going to necessarily be long articles or anything like that, but just different things I'm thinking about. We have the podcast. This podcast featured more prominently in the homepage. And also we now have a news section, which is right now just simply links to other news sites, Catholic news sites, but we do hope to add our own news stories going forward. And so just the various things we have here, you can scroll down and kind of see our most popular articles. That has to be updated, this most popular articles, because we didn't take over the traffic from the last site. It didn't move over. And you see some of our top contributors over here, Anthony Esselin, Joseph Pierce, Janet Smith, Austin Ruse, people like that, just to highlight them on the homepage. Okay, so I encourage you, check out crisismagazine.com, check out the new website. And I used to be a web developer, and so I know every website, new website, has issues at first. So please be patient with us if there's anything not working. Like this morning, we found out that the audio reader on every article, you can actually listen to every article we publish at Crisis. It wasn't working for the new articles. And I was surprised by how many people noted that and complained to us. I mean, very nicely complained, but they said, hey, it's not working. I was kind of shocked. I thought it would be, I didn't think that many people use it. A lot of people use it. We did get that fixed just before I went live. So that is working. Okay. But let's go ahead and jump into the topic of the day, which is today's election day, 2022. And so in an effort to make this podcast somewhat evergreen, so it will last beyond today, I do want to talk a little bit more fundamentally about the whole issue of voting. I got in a debate on Twitter with Ryan Grant about, and he's a publisher of Mediatrix Press, I think it is, translates things to Latin. He translated a work for me from Latin into English, which I was very thankful for him. And he was basically saying Catholics shouldn't vote. And we had a nice back and forth about it. And essentially, though, the question is, are Catholics obligated, morally obligated to vote? Now, there are a couple quotes that make it seem like, yes, we are. For example, Pius XII, I think this was 1951, he said, Pope Pius XII said, it is a strict duty for all who have the right, men or women, to take part in the elections. Whoever abstains, especially out of cowardice, commits a grave sin, a mortal fault. That's pretty strong language. He's basically saying, if you're able to vote and you abstain for any reason, but especially because of cowardice, that's basically a mortal sin. And so that's very strong language. Likewise, the Baltimore Catechism. Now, somebody showed me this, and an old version of Baltimore Catechism had this in there. My tan version of it does not have this in there, but it was in some version of the Baltimore Catechism. And it said, Catholics should exercise the right to vote. This is a moral obligation when the common good of the state or the good of religion, especially in serious matters, can be promoted. So basically, you can tell that voting does seem to be something that Catholics are obligated to do. However, on the other hand, for 50 years, the Vatican basically said that Italians should not vote. Italian Catholics should not vote in their elections from 1868 to, I believe it was 1918. They were told not to vote because essentially, I'm not going to get into all the details. It's kind of confusing, but essentially, the Vatican did not support the new Italian state and did not want to support it by voting. And so that tells us right there that clearly it's not a black or white matter whether or not we are always in every situation obligated to vote if we have that right. And I think this is a good point to have, that I think it is situational, that in a situation where you have a running democracy, running republic, and you have the right to vote, in general, yes, you should vote. And in fact, you're obligated to vote. However, I do think there are situations in which a state is illegitimate, in which a state doesn't really, you don't want to support it even by voting. I mean, I believe that there was voting in Nazi Germany. But really, are you obligated to vote in the Nazi Germany election where it's not really a true election? So I don't think it's a hard and fast rule that every time and every situation, you always have to vote. And in fact, I think there's situations in which, for example, the general norm of voting is valid, that you should, that you are obligated to vote, but you don't necessarily have to vote in every single item on the ballot, every single election that's on your ballot. You can't abstain from certain ones for moral reasons, for reasons of conscience. Let's say, for example, there's no write-in candidate available, and there are two rabidly pro-abortion people, anti-Catholic candidates on the ballot. I don't think you're required to vote for one of those as the lesser of two evils. If one of them, if they're both terrible and they really don't even make that minimal grade of what it takes to be an acceptable candidate, I don't think you have to vote in that specific election. You could still go to vote and vote in the other items on your ballot, but not necessarily in that one per se. So I do think it is an open question, an ongoing question about our own democracy. I think it's very clear that there are significant efforts to undermine our democracy. And I don't mean this in the way that President Biden says it. I mean it probably in the exact opposite way he means it. I think, for example, the fact that when President Trump, who was rightly elected in 2016, he had so much opposition from the deep state. And so how much power did he really have? So when we vote for the president, how much is he really in charge? How much is he actually doing the job that we're voting him to do? I mean, today, President Biden, what's he actually doing? When you voted for Biden, hopefully, if you're listening to this, you didn't actually vote for Biden. But for those who voted for Biden, is the guy you voted for actually the guy in charge? I think there's a real good reason to believe he's not in charge. I mean, I don't think he's capable of being in charge. And so I do think, and of course, the question of the 2020 election, I'm sure if I talk too much about that, I'll get kicked off of YouTube. But I know there's open questions about the 2020 election. And so I do think there are reasons to believe that our electoral process is not actually legitimate. Or I should say, probably my own opinion is it's becoming more illegitimate. It's on a path to illegitimacy, in which case I don't think it's necessarily required that we vote in these in an illegitimate election. So, okay. So now that being said, talking about that today's election, the 2022 election, I do think there is a certain importance to this election. I am not one of these people who says this election is most important of our lives. I mean, they say that every 2 years, and I don't think that's true most of the time. I don't think there's any way to know what the most important election is till years later. And so I do think, however, the past 2 years have really seen a radical shift in how the direction of the country. Like, I don't even say Biden's the worst president ever. I lived under Clinton. I lived under Obama. They were all bad. And I think George W. Bush was awful. And so it's like, I don't think he was necessarily as awful as Clinton and Obama, but he was terrible. I think Trump did some bad things, but I also think of the four I just listed, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump. I mean, it's not even close which one's the best of those four. And it was Trump. Biden is terrible. Is he as terrible as Obama, as terrible as Clinton? I don't know. But the point is I don't necessarily think we can say this is the most important election ever. However, I do think the past 2 years have seen a radical shift, not necessarily because of Biden, but we have COVID. The COVID regime, I think, is probably the most important thing in my mind of how things have shifted in government control. We have the Dobbs decision from this past summer, which was huge. And let's not forget, as somebody who did not vote for Donald Trump in 2016, I will be the first, however, now to say it's because of Donald Trump being elected in 2016 that we got the Dobbs decision. It's directly responsible for it. And so I'll be the first to say, yes, that is the reason why we have Dobbs. And that's the reason Roe fell. And so that's a major difference over my entire lifetime of voting. Honestly, I know that Catholics, pro-life Catholics, always talk about how important it is for pro-life gains. I just didn't believe it. I lost my faith in that because I never saw Republicans actually doing anything about it. But now Donald Trump did. And so we have that. Also, I do think the big push for transgenderism, why on earth has the Democratic Party decided that declaring that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man and you must accept that is the hill they decide to die on? That's just insane. I mean, actually, it's not completely unbelievable because sin makes you stupid. And the Democrats have been explicitly supporting sin for so long that they've become, I think, even stupider than they were before. I think the Republican Party is generally stupid, but the Democratic Party is evil. And that evil has made them embrace more and more and more evil. And so I think the transgenderism aspect of this election is very important. If I think anybody who thinks a man can declare himself a woman and be a woman then is unfit for office, any office, I don't care if it's dog catcher, they should not be office because that person is insane, because only an insane person would say a man can declare himself a woman. And so therefore, I definitely think that it's unbelievable that they're doing this. I think another major point is the insanity of us trying to hurl ourselves into World War III with the whole situation in Ukraine, Taiwan and China, Russia, all of that, our foreign policy disaster. Here's something where I think in general, Republicans, Democrats have been equally terrible about, although the Democrats are trying hard now to take the crown of the worst foreign policy. Trump had good instincts, but he had terrible appointments when it came to foreign policy. And so I think he... You know, like I said, he had good instincts, but the people he selected. In fact, in my opinion, if he runs in 2024, I think he has to name the people he's going to put in charge of foreign policy before the election. Say, these are the men and women I'm going to put in charge. And so we can see if they're just going to be the same old neocon retreads that have been in there for so long. But so anyway, World War III, the potential for it is a big part. And so I do think this election is important. And elections, I don't think elections matter as much as a lot of people think they do, but the 2016 election showed that they do matter because it, like I said, it led to Dobbs. I do think that matters. I also think though, that the smaller election gets, like the more local election is, the more important it is in your life. And so therefore this year, when there's no presidential election and it's mostly state elections, local elections, I think it's actually in some ways more important because with the fall of Dobbs, I mean, fall of Roe with Dobbs, of course, that's a big part because now your state representative matters. I contacted both my state rep, my state senator right after Dobbs to find out where they stood and told them, I'm only going to vote for you if you support banning abortion as much as possible. And so I do think those elections matter. The governor, the state Supreme Court, I mean, a lot of these laws that are trying to be passed by pro-lifers getting held up by state Supreme Courts. And so we need to elect good judges as well. So I think those things very much matter. Now, so I do think Catholics should vote in this election is my point here is that I do think this election does matter enough that it does that they should vote. I don't think the system is great. In fact, I'll talk about this a little bit later. I think the system's fundamentally broken. But it's the system we're living under. And so I think we have to work in it for now until we hopefully overthrow it one day. Now, my own voting criteria, I bring this up because I don't vote with the same criteria initially as your typical conservative Catholic. I'm not criticizing the conservative Catholic who essentially votes straight Republican line. I don't do that. A couple things. First of all, I do prioritize the non-negotiables. So for example, abortion, that's a non-negotiable, homosexual marriage, things like that. However, I don't just take it like, okay, candidate A says he's pro-life. Candidate B says he's pro-abortion or pro-choice or whatever he says. Therefore, I have to vote for candidate A. Because I've seen too many times where a candidate might claim to be pro-life in the election during the electoral process. But then when they're in office, they do nothing to advance the cause for life. And in fact, they might then also be awful when it comes to something like military interventionalism. And so if a Republican doesn't really push for pro-life laws, but he does push strongly to get into more wars to kill more people, I'm not going to necessarily vote for him. That's not going to be a slam dunk. Now, I'm not going to vote for a rabidly pro-abort Democrat, but I might very well vote third party. I may very well do a write-in. I'm not necessarily going to, and I might just abstain from that because I'm sorry, but I'm just not going to give my vote to somebody simply because they say they're pro-life, simply because they say they're anti-abortion. I need to see more. I need more proof that they're actually doing more about it than just saying something. And I need to see that their other positions aren't awful as well. Here's a good example. In our state of Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine, he's running for re-election. Now, Mike DeWine's a Republican. He's pro-life, and he is pro-life. He's voted for some, he's done some good things on the pro-life front. I will give him credit for that. However, he was awful during COVID. He was one of the worst. I mean, there was worse, I know, like some of the Democrats like in California and New York, but he was terrible. We always call him Dictator DeWine because he's just awful. And in the primaries, he won. I mean, all the Republicans said, I'm not going to vote for DeWine because all this terrible stuff. He didn't win the primary, no problem. And now he's up for re-election against a Democrat who's terrible. I voted this morning. I did not vote for him. I didn't vote for the Democrat either. And so I just didn't vote for either of them. I'm sorry. If Mike DeWine loses by one vote, it's not my fault. It's Mike DeWine's fault. If he hadn't been awful, if he hadn't lost my vote by being so awful about the COVID regime, I would have voted for him. But I'm not voting for somebody who is going to who promoted that inhumane treatment of people that happened during COVID. And he was terrible about it. So he didn't earn my vote. And if he loses, it's his fault. By one vote, it's not my fault. It's his vote. So, and here's my big revelation is that I've long been a third party voter. In fact, I'm a member of the Libertarian Party right now. Now, I don't vote. I mean, there was no Libertarian candidates on the ballot this year on my ballot. And if there had been, I may or may not have voted for them. I just support the idea of third parties. I think the two-party system has become a uniparty system in a lot of ways, not in every way, but in a lot of ways. And in fact, in my ballot today, I think I voted Republican. Everyone I voted for, I voted Republican because there was no other real options. Like I said, I did not vote for DeWine, but knowns. And I actually like my new congressman who's a Republican, Warren Davidson. He sounds very pro-life. He's anti-interventionalism and also, other good things. So I voted for him gladly. And I vote for some other Republicans, like Republican judges, even though I'm not real enthusiastic about them. I just felt like, okay, I'm going to vote for them. And so I vote for the best candidate, no matter what. And I wish third parties like the Libertarian Party were stronger. I do think the Libertarian Party is growing and I'm happy about that. But if they put up a candidate that I don't like, and I like the Republican better, I'm voting for the Republican. That's just, and if the Democrats somehow put up some crazy good candidate, I'd vote for that person. If Tulsi Gabbard just came out today, she was supporting she was opposing the pro-abortion bill issue in Michigan, which was great because Tulsi Gabbard used to be pro-life, then she became pro-abortion, but she's gotten a lot better in a lot of things recently. I still don't think she's all the way there, but if Tulsi Gabbard was pro you know, said she was pro-life now and she was good on a lot of stuff, I'd vote for her. Even now, if she left the Democratic Party, so it doesn't really count as Democrat, but she ran independent, I could vote for her. I could see myself voting for her in certain situations. And I don't, I know that the big thing is that's said among conservative Catholics, you can't be Catholic and a Democrat. And I think that's generally true. I'm just not as hardcore about it. I do think it's possible to vote for a Democrat candidate in certain situations. I think they're becoming fewer and far between. I think 20 years ago it was much more possible to do that. People were saying that 20 years ago, by the way. I heard people say that 20 years ago. They're still saying today. I think it was actually less true back then than it is now. I think with the Democratic Party going all in on transgenderism, all the transgenderism crap, there's obviously all the pro-gay marriage and pro-abortion. I think it's kind of hard to find a situation where a Democrat would actually be worth voting for. However, my big thing is I think a lot of Republicans aren't worth voting for. I mean, a lot of them. I'm just tired of the mainstream establishment Republicans, and I want them all out. I don't think they have not helped us. I mean, I have lived on this earth for over 50 years. And in my following of politics since the 1980s, I've heard the same thing in every election from a lot of conservative Catholics about we have to vote for Republicans. And what? How has the country gone? What's the direction? It's gone downhill. And in often, the Republicans have controlled the White House. They've controlled the Senate. They've controlled Congress. They've controlled state houses. Yet, ultimately, we're still going downhill. And so I think that's something to consider. Let me talk about that more in a minute, but let me first go back, take a step back and talk about how, what I think will happen with these midterms if the Republicans win big. Here's the thing. I don't think it's going to be a major difference in how the country's run. I remember back in 1994 when the Gingrich-led Republicans won big. And what it did was it did slow Clinton down, did slow Bill Clinton down. He probably would have been much more awful if that had not happened. So that was a good thing. So if there's a big red wave today and conservatives win, I do think that's a good thing for the country. It's better than the alternative, which the realistic alternative, which is that the Democrats would win. But I think ultimately they're going to basically just kind of slow down the insanity, but not stop it and not reverse course. Definitely not reverse course. Because think about it. Conservative Inc. over the past how many years now is basically just progressivism from a few years ago. I mean, they're endorsing gay marriage now, which 5 years ago, you couldn't get a conservative to endorse it. Now there are gay married men as prominent leaders in the conservative movement. And I'll put that conservative in quotes because it's just ridiculous to think that's conservative. So a lot of Republicans, some Republicans are solid, like my own guy, Warren Davidson. I like him. And there's some others. I mean, there definitely are some. You know, obviously, Rand Paul is great. Ted Cruz, I think there's a lot of good things about him. So obviously, DeSantis is great in so many ways. But I think a lot of Republicans are going to get in on the anti-Democratic wave, and they're not going to necessarily be that great. That's what we find when they get to Washington, they're not that great after all. And so I think, obviously, I'm not that enthusiastic as some people are about a red wave. I hope it happens, but I don't expect things to change that much after that. And ultimately, it's because that our system is broken. People talk about, you know, there's the famous quote that politics is downstream from culture. I think it was Breitbart who said that. Politics is downstream from culture. However, it's also true, and Austin Ruse has said this in the pages of Crisis, that culture is downstream from politics. I think both are true. I think they intermix. I think what happens in the political realm impacts our culture, and what happens in our culture impacts our political realm. I think you can't really separate the two. But ultimately, our culture is so broken, is so bad off right now, that the politics is necessarily broken as well. And more importantly, politics will not fix the culture. No matter what happens in the election today, the culture's still broken. There's still going to be people pushing the transgender nonsense, still people promoting killing babies in the womb, still people promoting that marriage is not between a man and a woman. It should not be monogamous and all these things that we know are true. Everybody in their heart knows is true. It's natural law. We're still going to have that no matter what happens today in the election. And I think ultimately we have to remember that, that we have these fundamental cultural problems that we have to fix. Yes, vote for the right people, the best people you can, but know that that's not the, the ultimate goal here. It's a, I will admit that it's a pet peeve of mine how passionate Catholics get online about elections compared to evangelization. When you talk about politics on Facebook or Twitter or social media, wherever online among Catholics, you get some vicious comments. If you suggest that, oh, maybe I won't be voting for this Republican. Oh my gosh. People will burn you at the stake as a heretic. They will assume the worst possible things about you. And I know this because I often don't vote for the Republican. I vote for a third party. But it's just, and I will say, you know, I'm sure it's the other way as well in some cases. But when you talk about more important things like the salvation of souls, whatever. You get almost no comments at all. You get almost no discussion. And I think that's a skewed way of looking at things. I think ultimately, the only way the system gets fixed is by the conversion of souls, by people becoming better Catholics, practicing their faith more. That's what's going to ultimately change the system. And by system, I mean, yes, potentially even the governance system we use, democracy versus, democratic republic versus a monarchy or something else like that. Secession, the system we use, I'm honest. I'm for secession in the United States. In fact, I'm so excited. I have a guest coming on pretty soon who we're going to talk about this, and I'm very excited about it. But secession, all these different structural changes, I think need to be looked into. But ultimately, they all fail if we don't have a conversion of heart among the populace. But what I'm hopeful is if there is a conversion of heart, that we start to see, okay, the system we have, this big, huge United States, which we call a democratic republic, but we all know really does not represent the people, that I think that will, that's when that can be changed. Now, I think the one thing the election does more than anything, it does kind of give an indication of the frustration of the people. Like I said, it won't make huge changes to what's going on in the near term, but I think it shows, okay, yes, people are frustrated. If there's a big red wave today, I think that shows, yes, people are tired of COVID regime, transgenderism, the military industrial complex, stuff like that. I don't think those things necessarily change that much, but I think people will show people are not happy with it. If there is not a red wave, we're in much deeper problems than we think, because that shows people don't even care about this stuff. People think it's not that big a deal. So, or it shows that the Democrats cheated. So I would just say that today, yes, vote as a Catholic. Remember the non-negotiables. Get out there and vote. Vote for the candidates and the issues that support life, support reality, as we can call it when we're talking against gay marriage or against transgenderism. Support getting our troops or not engaging our troops in these military interventionalisms to try to support the American empire in ways that are just ridiculous. Do all those things. But more importantly, work for the conversion of hearts in your home, in your parish, in your community. Really work for that. Work locally to make your area a more Catholic area. And I think ultimately that spreads. That's how we really change the system. That's how we, frankly, upend the system and make it a better one. So I want to leave it with this. This is from Psalm 146, verses 3-7. I put up on the screen, I'll read it to you now. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no help. I mean, if there's not a better line for remembering during the elections, it's that. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no help. When his breath departs, he returns to his earth. On that very day, his plans perish. In other words, we all put on our pants the same way, even Fauci, even Biden, even Trump. Happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes judgment, justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. Amen.